This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon, you're listening to Bookmark. I'm Umar Paganampake Pagan and this is Afterwards, the show that focuses on literary connections, on the way books touch and are touched by everything around them, on the various ways we come to read the things we read. Sharon Barker has, for 12 years now, given Malaysian authors a space in which their work is allowed to be voiced out loud and be heard. Readings at Sik San Gallery is now a staple of the Bangsa scene, and the opportunity it has afforded to young Malaysian writers and readers is incalculable. Sharon has just edited and published her third collection of readings from readings. This one is simply called Everything About Us. So Sharon, before we talk about this particular book and the process that went behind it, what's always been interesting to me about readings is, while it's a good thing for the public at large, I found it to be an absolute godsend for the fellow writer. I think that's what I took away from it. This safe space where writers can come together and feel comfortable and secure and even inspired and encouraged.
Well, I actually took over the event from Bernice Chorley. After a few years of organizing it, Bernice had to drop out of it. So at first I was really scared, because I thought, I don't know that many writers, and I don't know how, if it'll go as well for me as it did for her. But it's been absolutely fantastic. And I don't know what the magic is, but every month I have six people come and read, and they're always pretty different kinds of people as well. Most of the time they contact me and ask if they can read, and it usually works out pretty well. There have been some people who have found it extremely encouraging to read at readings. Cam Razlan is a very good example, because in the early days he read some extracts about his Dato, which later became his Confessions of an Old Boy.
That's right.
Yeah. So the book kind of grew out of that encouragement. David T.K. Wong is another example. David is very much a veteran writer, but he's written a lot of fiction. And he moved to Malaysia on the Malaysian My Second Home program. And he, I invited him to read, and he said, I haven't got anything to read, you know? So I said, well, just write something for readings. What should I write about? You know, you've got a fascinating life. Just write something about your life. So he wrote about his aunt. And he wrote about living at 10 Blair Road in Singapore, his childhood. And he came and read it at readings, and it went down really well, and it was fascinating. And that was actually the start of his writing his memoir.
Sharon, talk to me about the importance of reading. Because as writers, what a lot of us do is we sit in front of the screen or in front of a page, and it's very rare that we voice these things out loud. Yes. So how important is that process for a writer?
I think it helps writers to know how their work is going down. And I think they realize a lot about their piece as they read it. And I do get people who, you know, kind of listen and then they get the confidence to go back and work on it some more. An example of that is Ted Masun, whose piece is in this book, The Ghost in the Garden. He actually read it 10 years ago at readings for the first time. And that was when it was a very rough draft. And it went down very well. And he got response from the audience. And, yeah, I guess the sound of his own voice, the feeling of his own voice, filled the story out. And he's worked on it. And it was published previously in the Griffith Review. So that was a really fantastic thing to happen.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, over the years, I've discovered many great writers at readings. Shivani was someone who I met at readings. Brian Gomez was someone whose work I discovered at readings. And it's interesting because the Malaysian literary sphere was very small when you started 12 years ago. And even if it was of any consequence at the time, it's not that these people spoke to each other.
Yes, that's right.
And I think the event has gone a long way to helping people connect with one another.
And get to know each other and find similar common ground and so on. Yes, absolutely. A lot of friendships have been formed. And also, I think it helps the audience to connect with the writers. It's not only about the writers. It's also about people who love books and love words. And many of the people who come month after month aren't writers, but they genuinely love what goes on. And it's their social, their big social event as well of the month.
Have readings been inspirational to any readers who suddenly decided, hey, I want to do that. I want to pick up the pen.
Yeah,
in the last 12 years, have you had any readers who've suddenly come back as writers?
Yeah, I have quite a number of people in the audience who decide, you know, after listening to people, they want to go and start writing and take a creative writing course. So, yes, I do. I do have something like that, yes.
So I've got a controversial question for you, Sharon. In all the years I've known you, I've never asked you this question.
Oh, no.
But writers don't often make good readers.
Yeah, absolutely. It's true. It's
and
true.
You've run this event for 12 years now, every month.
Yes.
What do you do with the writers who aren't good readers?
Well, it happens. I mean, it's absolutely true. But I think it's also the responsibility of the individual to do the best that they can. And it's honestly surprised me because some published authors who've got really, really good stories.
Oh, international authors as well,
you know,
not just Malaysians.
Cannot read. And yet you have someone who probably doesn't have the best poem in the world, but they come and they really read it extremely well. Yeah, it happens. I've got now I sent out a little poster that I've got about reading.
Like a guide.
A guide to reading your work. And I think that actually helps. And also about the timing, because the worst thing in the world is if someone goes over time and you're trying to stop them and they won't meet your eye and their face is buried in their paper. And it does happen. And a few times I've had to kind of like in a school debate, write a note and thrust it at them. But you know, you don't want that to happen. So I try to send out something to, you know, beforehand to tell them, you know, kind of look out for that. I think also the standard of reading has improved because I think they're, you know, the standard overall of other readers, they come and they hear other readers reading well and they want to do well as well. But I think we could do with some training from actors really to...
You're absolutely right, because there is such a strong performance element to it, which you're not trained to do as a writer at all.
I mean, it's
still supposed to be this solitary endeavor. I put it out into the world.
That's right.
You buy the book and you read it yourself. And the mentality is I shouldn't have to read it to you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and but the performance element is becoming increasingly important these days because I suppose the author has to engage with the reader. If not, it's hard to sell books.
It really is. Yes, it is. And they are all selling themselves and selling themselves as writers. And, you know, you never know who's in the audience. We did have at one readings, we actually had a literary agent there, Bernice brought along. And, you know, that was a good time to impress someone in the audience, wasn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. So what do you see as being... I mean, the future of reading has gone on for 12 years.
I know. I keep thinking I'll retire. You know, I keep thinking, you know, is it still relevant? Do I still need to do this? It's not really about me. But then people contact me and say, I really want to read, or I've just got this book out. Have you got a slot?
No, which is why I go back to this idea that I think it's crucial for the writer. I don't know how relevant it is to the buyer of books.
Yeah.
But I think for the writer in Malaysia, it's essential because there is no other venue where you can meet any random fellow writer at any given Saturday in a month, third Saturday in a month, right?
Yeah.
And yeah, I think that's important.
Yes, absolutely. It's really very nice to meet the people who've written the books, and it brings everything alive, makes it much more relevant. And I think the other thing is that in this country, it's very hard to find local books in the bookshops. You know, you go into some of the, I won't name them, but you go into the local bookshops. Where are the local books?
Are they buried in the back somewhere?
They're hidden somewhere in the back if they've even got them on the shelf, you know. And it can be extremely discouraging. But at an event like this, people get to know who the writers are. Their books are for sale on the table. They get to hear a little bit of what they've been reading. And that really creates a lot more interest in local writing.
So let's talk about Everything About Us. Talk to me about the title first, because the first two volumes were just called Readings from Readings and Readings from Readings 2.
Yes.
But this time you decided to go with... It's a brilliant title, though.
It's a brilliant title. It works. Amir Mohammed said to me, it's not a very sexy title, Readings from Readings, is it? So I decided that I just wanted this to have a different title. I wasn't even going to put Readings from Readings 3 on it. I don't know, but I did in the end. I took the title from the title of a poem by an Australian poet called Jane Williams. And in fact, she uses Everything About Us, those words, in a different way in her poem. But I just thought it was an extremely nice little phrase to steal, because I wanted the book to really reflect the event, and I wanted it to be about all of us, not only the people who come and read their work, but also the audience who come and listen every month and provide the reason for the writers to read, and the people who come month after month and help set it all up and you know, kind of keep control of the crowd and serve up the drinks and everything. All of us, every single one of us. So I thought also, you know, one book cannot tell you everything about us. You know, no matter how many stories are in a book, they don't tell us everything about us. But every story contains a truth, and every truth gets us much closer to who we are, who we can be, and also who Malaysians are and who Malaysians can be as well, I think, because most of the writers in here are Malaysian.
Also, it's a very well put together book in that it's a pleasure to look at as much as it is to read. The cover's beautiful.
Yes.
There are all these wonderful illustrations inside, which I'm assuming are depictions of what I've seen at readings.
Yes, that's right. I asked Gladys Teo Simpson. She's a friend of mine, and I found out that she was doing a lot of urban sketching. And, you know, if you sit down for a cup of tea with Gladys, 5 minutes later, there's a sketch of you that looks more or less like you on her page. You know, so I've asked her to come into readings a couple of times, and she has sat down and sketched the people there, taken photos and worked from photos as well, often turning out the sketches very quickly. Some of them are rather more worked than others, I think, in the book. But you'll see that there are pictures of people reading. There are pictures of people just sitting there, often just depicted from the back, because it doesn't really matter who they are. They're just representing the audience there and the whole variety of people who come. And there's my friends Aziza and Marquisa taking a wee-fee together. And there's Param taking the photos, as he always does. So it's kind of, I wanted it to give a taste.
Well, no, and that's why I think I like this version a lot. I mean, the other two versions were great collections of the stuff that were read at readings.
Yes.
But this one captures the look and the feel by having these images, because that's what you want.
Yes.
I mean, readings from readings and readings at Seksan are more than just the stories that were told there. It's about the community that comes there every month without fail.
Yeah.
Talk to me about how difficult it was to curate this collection. It seems a lot more dense than the other two.
It is. It's a thicker book. I mean, it's got 250 pages, more or less. The other two were just under 200.
And also you've got poetry, you've got prose, you've got Facebook status updates.
Yes, you noticed.
There's a ton of stuff.
Yes. That Facebook update is extremely interesting. That was Shehan Chua's piece about 20-something-year-olds. And it went viral on Facebook. And I loved it. I thought it was really great. So I got her to come and read it. And when she read it so well, it felt like poetry. So I suggested that she punctuated it like poetry. So it's become a poem. And it's a kind of balance to the piece that comes before it by Simon Beaumont, which is also a kind of rant about KL. So I thought the two pieces worked quite nicely together, side by side.
It's got a really good collection of stuff. I mean, I always enjoy Zedek's work. And Zedek's work's very good. Also, David T.K. Wong's work about escaping from Singapore is a memoir. excerpt, which is really, really good.
Yes.
And so, yeah, talk to me about the curation of all of this. I mean, was there a logic in trying to fit everything
not,
on?
No, not at first. It was kind of desperation. Will I have enough material to make a book out of? And when I started off, I wasn't at all sure. And I really, you know, I had so much material that people had given me. I did a call for submissions, so I had a whole lot of stuff. And then, you know, I've asked a lot of people to give me stuff. And then I sneak around and I read what people write. And I read, you know, they've got something online, so I go and read it. You know, so all the time I'm kind of thinking. And a lot of pieces I pulled in from people who'd read at readings, more or less at the last minute, like Elaine Chu. She had a lovely story published in, I think it was Rambutan Journal online.
This was the war story?
I'm not sure which
story?
One it was. It was a, it was, yeah.
Was it the World War story?
The Japanese.
That's right.
The gardener's son and so on, and the Japanese guy, yes. So I read her story online. I thought it was really lovely, and I asked her if I could take it. So a lot of it was kind of like looking for things as well, you know, not just the stuff that was sent in. I know what I want, and I want strong material, and I want the pieces to somehow affect me when I read them. It's a very personal thing, you know. So another editor would make a different choice of pieces, and I think that's good, you know. But every piece I have in here, I can stand by and say, I really like this. I really think it's good. It gives me pleasure. I mean, that's the main thing.
You're three books in now. So are you enjoying the process still?
I love editing. I really do. I love it when it's my book. I don't enjoy other people's editing and they say, can you edit this book for me? But I really don't. But I love putting these together, and I love taking a story that's got potential but isn't there, and then working with the writer on several drafts. There are a few pieces in the book that are like that. You know, they were good. There was something good about them, something I liked about them, but the stories weren't there. And, you know, so I spent time sitting down with the writer, going through, making suggestions, develop this way. You know, to have try that. This is not working for me. You know, go back and fix something. And to their credit, those people that I approached like that worked very hard on their pieces. Fortunately, I didn't have to do that with all the pieces because a lot of them, you know, came to me and they were, you know, they'd been published before or they were already, you know, pretty perfect. But it was really good to have so many first-time writers, so many new writers to encourage in there.
Well, since you started doing readings 12 years ago, so much has changed. Mm. I mean, the avenues in which the Malaysian author has to get published, not just internationally,
it's just
locally. I mean,
it's
with Amir Muhammad, with Legend Press, with all these people doing all of these things.
Yes.
It doesn't matter what language you write in. There seems to be more and more avenues.
Yes,
and I'm not even talking about the internet. I just mean the actual physical press.
Yes, yes.
And it's gone a long way. And what have you found, I suppose, with the quality of submissions you've been getting in 2016 versus when you started?
I've found that I've got quality stuff. I mean, some of it we've had to work towards that quality, but a lot of it, the quality was there already. And I think Amir's played a very important role in encouraging a large quantity of Malaysian writing. And I think
for me,
quality takes care of itself after the quantity.
Correct. And I agree with you. I think for me, the role that Amir has played over the last 5-6 years is immeasurable.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it's just crazy with Fixie and especially with Malay writing.
Yeah.
I think it's pretty incredible what he's done.
And getting people's work out into the world, you know, the exposure that writers are now getting is so great. I think the other thing is that now, of course, the internet is really good. We have writers from here who are writing stuff that's getting published overseas, quite a number of them. And, you know, it's amazing, fantastic to see that. Zen Cho, for example.
Zen's work's absolutely brilliant.
Working in that fantasy genre. So it's not just people writing about the Malaysian situation. It's people writing right out there to the rest of the world. Yeah, and Yang Si Chu and so on. You know, there is so much Malaysian writing and there's so much variety in that Malaysian writing. It's absolutely fabulous.
Yeah.
It makes me very hopeful and excited and so on.
And I know you've just launched this, but Readings from Readings 4 happening soon?
Yeah. it is, because I still have material that didn't get into this book. I mean, I more or less just had to say, all right, I've got enough here now. This is enough.
I'm going to stop.
Let me be satisfied. Stop. I'm not going to go back and work on those other pieces with those writers, because I don't have time. I don't have energy right now, but I will have soon. And I had someone write a short story, a tiny piece of flash fiction in one of my classes the other day. And I thought, oh, I like that. That might go into my next book, you know. So, yes.
Fantastic. Well, Sharon, it's always a pleasure. Thank you so much for taking the time to coming and talking to me.
Thank you so much, Umar. Thanks.
I've been speaking to Sharon Barker. You can find her brand new book, Everything About Us, Readings from Readings 3, at all good bookstores. You've been listening to Afterwards. Bookmark on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9. Raise the sail.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.